Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art in the Air. Hey, the theme music you just heard is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster, and they'll be doing something
on Sunday at the Gary Public Library from 3 to 5 p.m.
Okay, very good. So you can hear them again. We also had them some time ago at the Jazz Fest, so that was really
great. I know,
and
it'll be some of those same Lanny on the drums and Bruce, I think, on the bass, and Billy on the keyboards, and Renee singing.
So you can go hear them, and then we'll talk more about Jazz Fest down the road when we get the next one planned.
I know.
Our underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. If you'd like to find out about leasing space in this historic technical building, give Walt a call at 219-462-5821. Thank you for your generous support. Always like to give a shout out to Greg Kovach, WVLP station manager, for getting us on the air.
Yay, Greg. Thank you.
Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission, Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest or send us information about your arts, arts-related event, exhibit, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Our program, along with all of our programs, are streaming live at WVLP.org. Art in the Air is rebroadcast here on this station on Mondays at 5 p.m. You can hear our entire show archive for the over a year of shows.
I know, you have to actually scroll.
Yes, at breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. We also have our detailed arts events calendar. So if you miss something we're talking about, we also have all the hyperlinks and phone numbers with that. So you can see that. And we're proud to announce also, again, remind you that Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, airs our show Sundays at 7 p.m., so you can listen to us there, and soon they'll be streaming from there. And then we're also on WIUN Red Hawk Radio, IU Northwest closed circuit station. So that, hey, we'll talk just briefly about support because it's ever so important. You know, this is a community radio station, and it's supported by listeners and underwriters like you, and so we look for your support. Esther and I especially would love if you underwrite this show. And now that we have a wider audience appeal, you can underwrite us.
Because we'd like to expand some of our equipment and our offerings.
Yes, we actually are working on getting a brand new broadcast board, some other things, and telephone phone-in capability. That can only happen with your help. So if you're interested in doing that, go to wvlp.org/support. You can make an underwriting a pledge, and we'll mount you during our show or the other shows. We think it's very important because we don't want you to just be a listener, though we appreciate your listenership. We want you to be supported. I say this every week. Gives Esther a smile. Don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting our show, Art in the Air, and the whole WVLP family of shows. Well, we'll start with the arts calendar. Porter County. Well, guess what? If you didn't get to the Brower Museum, you missed it. They're closed till January 5th. They're going to have a whole new set of exhibits. You still can go outdoors and see the new Neil Goodman sculpture there, but they're on break, so you've missed
a well-deserved one.
A well-deserved one. Way to go, Greg Hertzley. Take a little break there. But they have a whole new...
And Gloria and his partner in crime, Gloria.
Well, that's true.
Fabulous.
So they will have a whole new lineup. I saw it, but I won't talk about it right now. The Village Gallery at Pines continues with Jeffrey Baumgartner oil paintings. That's going to go through January 9th. So if you have time to go down there in Valparaiso and see his work. Most of you remember Jeffrey as being the artistic director for Dune Summer Theater. Chesterton Art Center. Well, they have a lot of things going on. Current exhibit is the Duneland Photography Club member exhibit. Excellent exhibit going on there. They have so many classes, we no longer read them on the air, but just go to the web link on our events page. You can find us things like that. Just tons of things. And I went to an Indiana Arts Commission grant thing on Sunday. They have just many things hopping there. Art Barn. Well, find out what's going on there. One event they have, December 14 and 15, from 2 to 5 p.m., a holiday ornament party. And you can go there and, I guess, make your own ornament and find out things like that. So go to the link there. Artsy Fine Arts and Antiques. Well, they have Monday, December 16th, wire wrapping class at 6 p.m. They also had a reception that I went to for their artists in-house, so that was kind of nice. They had invited their artists and friends there. So it's a great place in Chesterton, Indiana. The Allen Firm Gallery. Well, they have an exhibit called the Tutwiler Show, and it features the Chase with the Iron Horse, the DT Chase with the Iron Horse. It's a 40 by 50 oil, and it's actually the work was commissioned, I guess, by George Lucas, but it's there. You can see that at the Ellen Firm Gallery on US 12. Memorial Opera House, well, they're still doing their musical adaptation of Miracle on 34th Street. That's running through December 15th, so that's closing.
Have you been?
No, I haven't. You know me. I'm going
so
too
busy,
much.
So busy, I know.
Too busy, I tell you. I can't wait until it slows down a little bit. So you can find out information on the link in our site. Well, we'll talk about this during the show. The Digs of Dune calendar release that has already happened, and then we have other events. But you know what? I think we'll wait on that and talk about that later with our guests.
Do you think so? Yes, I think so.
Chicago Street Theater, they're doing an in-rep Santa Land or the Best Christmas Pageant Ever. And that's opened on November 22nd and runs through December 15th on alternate nights. So check the link out. You can see one or the other show, and they have lots of things going. That's in Valparaiso. 4th Street Theater, well, they have performances on December 14th, so this is the last one, the Naughty or Nice Improv Show by Improv Productions, and they'll be at the they'll also be doing a show at the Carriage Court Pizza. You can find the link on our site. So that's what I have for Porter County. What do you have going on in LaPorte County?
You know, it's busy, but it's also light because of the season, so less activity. So Thaddeus C. Gallery, located in downtown LaPorte, they have a new exhibit up, Lubesnik Center for the Arts, Living Architecture, that closes January 4th, and it is showing in all three galleries. In the NIPSCO Art Education Studios, there's an exhibit called As We See It, that also closes January 4th, and that's by the Social and Learning Institute and Paladin. Michigan City Messiah is coming up December 21st at 7 p.m. and December 22nd at 3 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in Michigan City. Admission is free. Seating is limited, though, and so order your free tickets at mcmessiah.com. That's mcmessiah.com. Rising Phoenix Gallery, their December exhibit is all about toys, and that runs through the end of the month. SFC Gallery, December exhibiting artists through the end of the month also, is Betty Thomas and Bunny Dimke. Link Contemporary Art is exhibiting the work by Suzanne Cohen Lang and Rick Lang. Nest is exhibiting the work of Robert Serko. His exhibit is called Me, Myself, and Eyes. It's recent paintings and drawings. Artist Sandra Setlick has her watercolors of animals, which she has made into cards, and this will be an ongoing fundraiser for the Humane Society of the Dunes. Sandra has donated all the cards, and 100% of the proceeds will go to the Humane Society of the Dunes. So we appreciate that, Sandy. Thank you. Wednesday, and every third Wednesday of the month, is the Brain Injury Support Group. This month will be on a field trip, so look on the Nest Michigan City event page for those details on where we're going. Saturday, December 21st, and every third Saturday is the All Ages, All Talents, the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent at 7 p.m. We love Captain Ambivalent. So the next one is the 21st, and it's Open Mic Meets Vaudeville Meets Show and Tell. The monthly First Friday Drum Circle happens at 6:30, and Free Your Story, a storytelling workshop, Sunday, January 19th in 2020. Details on the Nest Michigan City Facebook page. And that's it for LaPorte.
Well, that's quite a bit for LaPorte County. By the way, if you're listening to us live, it's Friday the 13th. I consider it a lucky day, though, because you're listening to Art on the Air. In Lake County, Studio 659, they are doing their exhibit through January 4th, actually, An Arm and a Leg. And as you can find out information, that's in downtown Whiting, 119th Street. South Shore Arts, the Bachman Gallery still has Things That Go Bump in the Night, kind of a mystery, scary exhibit, and that's running through February 2nd. That just went up in November. Atrium Gallery still has Pathway to the Beach, Marianne Trisma, Crown Point Branch, Something in the Air, work from an artist in residence, and that's just going through the middle of December, so you get a chance to do that, and they'll be swapping that out. Substation number 9, Julio Guerrera, Gallery of the Voice, and that's at the Substation 9 in Hammond. And Toll Theater continues with Judy Crawford for your consideration. Miller Beach and Creative Districts, they're doing many things, but you can check with them on Thursdays and Fridays. They're open, and check with them about what's going on. I don't know if they're going to do it at the end of the month here, their open mic night, but you can check with them. I think in December they might pass on that one. South Shore Arts, South Lake Arts Cooperative, Slackers, they're doing Crackle at the Sip Coffee House. And Word, and that's one in Highland, Sip Coffee House number 2. Sip Coffee House in Crown Point is Word. That's their exhibits going on. And Dire Arts Visionaries, they're doing Space Energy Time, and that's at the Wild Rose Brewery in Griffith. Theater at the Center. Well, if you're dreaming of a white Christmas, you can see a stage version of it through December 22nd. There are some dinner theater options available, and so you can see that the classic thing built based on Irving Berlin movie music in the motion picture. So you can see that at Theater at the Center in Munster. They'll be coming up with their next show in February, Almost Heaven, based on John Denver's life with his music. The Promise You Art House in Highland, they're doing their second annual tradition of filling the gallery walls with a whole wide collection called the Winter Collection. They have numerous artists, almost 40-some artists that are participating in that, so you can see that in Highland. Lakeshore Community Concerts has the second part of the concert season coming up. Check the link on our line. You can see what's coming up. Of course, they've sold their season already, but there's still 3 events left. Had a long relationship with them when I was managing the Munster Auditorium, and they changed their name 3 times, from Hammond Community Concerts to Munster Community Concerts, now Lakeshore Community Concerts. Northwest Indiana Symphony. Well, if you have one last chance to see the Holiday Pops, and that's today, on Friday the 13th at 7 p.m. They'll feature the Crown Point High School under the direction of my old partner in crime, William Woods, Palm Glove Strings, and of course, they have the Symphony Chorus. So you can find information on our line. Yuletide Favorites by Grant Fitch. Well, guess what? We had him on the show last week. He's now going to be another week at the Record Bin, December 14th from 7 to 10 p.m. And this is when he'll be doing his Dickens reading of A Christmas Story. Last week he did Yuletide Stories, but he'll be doing that. We had him on. You can find out information on the Facebook link. And the Indiana Ballet Theater. Well, they're continuing with their production at IU Northwest Main Stage Theater in Gary. They have several shows left through the 14th, so you can find out information on that from their own version of the local Nutcracker, and that's what we've got going on there. Hey, where's your event at? It's not on here? Well, I'll tell you what you should do. You can email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com.
Please email us.
Yes, it's a lot easier to do that than us having to go out and recruit all the information, but it's improving. But we'll be happy to read it on the air, plus put a link on our site so we can drive traffic to you. Also, make sure you visit our Facebook page, Art on the Air, and you can find out information there, what's coming on this week or that week. And you are listening to Art on the Air, and we are going to have our guests here. We have Eve Landsman Wersbicki. She's the creator of Dig the Dunes. She was born in Evanston, Illinois, and somehow got out to the dunes here. So she's here, and she brought along with her Matt Werner. We've also had him on the show. Farmer and author, or author and farmer, depending on what order you have. But storyteller and everything like that. So welcome to Art on the Air.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thanks.
To be here.
So briefly, because we've had you both on the show before, but maybe this is the first time people here. Tell us a little bit about your background, how you got from where you grew up. I was Evanston, Illinois. How you got from here to there?
Okay, you want me to go first?
Sure.
All right. So yeah, born in Evanston, lived in Chicago, and then my family moved to Michigan City when I was younger. Lived there, went to IU. For college, and then back to Chicago.
And what did you study? This is important on Art on the Air.
I studied telecommunications and art history.
We'll see. Perfect for Art on the Air.
And then after about 15 years in Chicago, decided to come back, found Ogden Dunes, and just fell in love with the area, fell in love with all the beaches, the trails, all the local things going on, and decided that I loved it so much I wanted to share it with other people. So I started Dig the Dunes, and the rest is history.
So explain to people, what is Dig the Dunes?
So Dig the Dunes is an organization now that we do a lot of marketing and events for a lot of different people in the area, in the dunes. It started with pictures that I was posting on Facebook of the beach, and that expanded to pictures of the trails, which then expanded to pictures and information about some of the local businesses and the people. And now I Dig the Dunes also does a lot of their own events, which we're going to talk about today, a few of them, and just continuing to promote the area.
And now, how is Dune Discoveries connected to Dig the Dunes?
Dunes Discoveries is a Facebook group that I started.
Okay.
I found that, you know, a lot of times with Facebook, people don't get a lot of the posts that are going out, and so it's just another way. So there's a lot of different ways you can connect with Dig the Dunes. You could do it through any social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and then there's also the Facebook page, and then there's Dunes Discoveries, which is more of an interactive group for
right.
people. I'm hoping more people will post on there, and it'll be a collaborative page or group. And then I also have a newsletter that people can sign up to, and that goes out every Tuesday. Right now there's over 2,700 people on the mailing list, so we try to get all the information out every week of the different events coming up, some of the different articles we've done, and just promoting different things happening.
And is there a way to join? I think you call them Doonies.
Yes, so then, yes, we have a Dooney membership program, and Doonies can join for $15, and they get access. This year, it's to our secret Dooney Trail, where they go around and try to find different things in the area and take pictures of it, and they can win prizes. They also get a membership card, which gets them 10% off at lots of locations, lots of different places around the area, and they get a sticker, and they get their name on the Dooney wall also. And they also, we have several meetups throughout the year, so we go on different hikes.
We almost had a meetup at my place, but then the weather
know,
turned.
And then it was a sunrise one, and there was no sunrise.
No
that
sunrise.
Morning.
And then you also have people that are sponsors that are part of, like, in a directory.
Yeah, we have a directory. So any local businesses that would want to join our directory, that's $60 for the year. They're listed, and we also promote any events they may be having on our Facebook page, as long as they let us know where
sure.
they are. Sure.
Just like New Perspective Photography, you know.
Right,
I just got my bill for that, so I have to pay that up pretty soon. So, well, we're going to move on to our other guest, Matt Warner. He's escaped the corporate thing, so tell us a little about your background and where you're at now, Matt.
That's a good question. I guess I'm the classic jack of all trades. I've done just about everything.
But you could be a master also. See, you don't, jack of all trades is a master.
Yeah, I suppose so.
So.
The only thing I've never done, I've never been a dancer or a singer, but otherwise
we could work on that,
covered.
Though. You can make your audition right here.
Really?
The Every Kind of Talent Show.
Yeah. If I don't get paid for it, does it really mean that I did it, though?
Sure, it does.
I'm not a professional anyway.
You know, well, professional sometimes is quality work, not just getting paid for it.
Ah, okay.
I used to use that with my students when we were doing theater, and I said, and we call it the P word. And mm-hmm. I said, I want the P word because I want consistency from the Thursday performance to the Sunday performance, because that's the standard that I want. It doesn't mean necessarily getting paid. Yeah, getting paid is great, but yeah. So anyway, back to you.
Let's see. Grew up in LaPorte County on a farm and moved all over the Midwest. I've lived in Wisconsin. I've lived in Chicago, Indianapolis, Cincinnati area, Bowling Green, Ohio. And I've done a little bit of everything. As I just said, I've been a construction worker, a middle school teacher.
Oh, God bless you.
Been a farmer. I taught college for a while, a writer. So a lot of different things. Came back to work on the family farm a few years ago, and here I am right now.
And is it the green tractor or the red tractor?
A little of both.
Okay.
Yeah,
whichever tractor
both.
Works.
So
yeah, if it runs.
If it runs, you got it.
Yeah, if it pulls things well, it's fine. That's
could
good.
It could be a John Deere or an IH, whichever.
Yeah, we're mostly Case IH. But,
oh, Case, yeah.
You know, combine's a John Deere, planter's a Kinsey. So it's,
though this
whatever.
Is not so much art-related, has any of the economics that have been happening affecting your what type of farming I guess you're doing is
corn and soybeans, typical Indiana stock stuff. Yeah.
So is like the economy or things like that hurt you at all?
Farming's terrible right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's it was hard to get things planted in the spring because it was so wet, so everything was very slow and very late. Harvest was good though. We didn't have any problems getting things harvested, but yields were down because of the wet spring.
Yeah.
And then it got extremely dry when you needed moisture the most. What I think about the end of, it was July 20-something that is the last time it rained, and it didn't rain for 5 or 6 weeks, and so that kind of, you know, damaged yields
sure.
a little bit, so prices aren't very high, so yeah, it's a tough time to be in the industry.
Is that
right
affected
now.
By the China thing at all, the tariffs?
Oh, that's part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt, that's got an impact as well. Yeah, that's what's keeping prices suppressed to some extent.
But the other thing you're well known for is storytelling and authors. So tell us about some of the materials you've done. I know you're on the show before and we had you read, but...
I've written 3 books, all nonfiction. One was called Season of Upsets. That was the first one. That one took, 3 years, interviewed 70 people, and it's kind of a quintessential Indiana story. It's got a basketball, but it's way more than just basketball. It's a little about life and times growing up in the 40s and 50s in Indiana and how it was very different, and the difference between cities versus country life. And it's a lot more stark than people realize. You know, like one of the most interesting facts that came up at the time was I was looking at census data, and they used to track what kind of plumbing people had. And in the late 40s, early 50s, you looked at farms and, you know, the majority of people did not have indoor plumbing. And in cities, it was 95% of people had indoor plumbing. But, you know, that's just one tiny factoid that kind of popped up throughout all of that. But
are you still in touch with any of the people you've interviewed with your books?
Yeah. Now, several of them, I don't know if I want to go so far as say many, but several of them have passed away now, because when I interviewed them, they were in their 80s already. I still keep in touch with some of them. Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
Yeah. And then one of the other books you did was on the other Chicago team, the White Sox.
Yeah, one of them is a guy who's from Union Mills and Glenn Rosenbaum, and he spent 42 years working in the White Sox organization. So I told him for years, or I asked him to write a book. I said, you should write a book, and he wouldn't do it. And then finally I said, well, let me tell your story. And he was pretty hesitant. But we sat down and talked, and he liked where it was going, so then we produced that. Yeah. And then another one about the 66 Michigan City Elston State Championship, and that one's a straight basketball story.
How sweet it is what it's called. Hey, where are these available at?
You can get them on Amazon or just about anywhere where there's books sold, you can order one.
Okay.
So you go to Barnes & Noble and order one. The bookstore in Hammond. I'm drawing a blank. Is it Milo's?
Miles, yeah.
Yes, thank you. I'm sure that they could order one for you.
I think that's in Highland, though.
Yes, thank you. But, yeah, Miles, if you went there, they'd be able to order one for you. All these are available.
Miles does is a little bookstore, but not like a big store, but he also does a lot of specialty things. Are they available at the Nest?
No, they are not. Only when Matt is making an appearance.
Well, maybe we should get them at the Nest. I'm a big promoter of the Nest, by the way. We've connected Esther with a lot of things here at the show. So, and then you
the best Billy and Renee.
Well, yeah, that worked out really well for you. And then there's a thing called Car Crash. It was historic photographs.
Yeah, it was a collection of very old photo negatives from the 30s and 40s. And the thing that caught me going through these, and I have thousands of them, is these photos tell an interesting story by themselves. Mm-hmm. It's not just about twisted metal and agony, but some of them are humorous. But you can really get a look at the human spirit and really see history and how things have changed.
Oh, you just see exactly what they were wearing and what the street looked like.
Oh, yeah. You look
family
at power
dynamics.
Lines.
And
yeah, power lines in the background. And there's, you know, like 200 wires hanging off a power line. And in a car accident, everybody would pull over. And by the time the photographer
And not all of them are gruesome. Some of them are really hilarious.
No, the gruesome ones I mostly shied away from. Because, you know, it's just, you know, I'm not interested in the macabre.
Right.
So it's kind of more the human spirit, interesting history components that I found fascinating.
It was like going to the show on some of them. Everybody's there dressed up and...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when a car crashed, you know, today we just look out our window and keep the air conditioning on and the windows rolled up and slow down and off we go. And not in 1937. People actually pulled over and got out of their car and walked up and looked at it. You need a hand? Everything okay? Then they'd stand around and talk and stare at it.
That actually continued into even the 70s. I remember people doing that. Yeah, let's go see the car crash. So, well, Eve, back to you from Dig the Dunes. You recently had an event at Patina, and it's one of the things you do annually. So, tell us a little bit about that.
We recently had our calendar contest and calendar release party, and we do that every year. This was our 4th year. People starting in September can submit their photos, and they submit beach, lake, trail photos, no selfies or anything like that. And they let us know they can submit up to 3 photos, and then they label them what month the photo was taken, and then we go through a big process where we... have 3 different judges that look at all the photos. We don't look at any names of any of the photographers, and we pick and find all the perfect photos for each month. And then we do a release party sort of to celebrate the photographers, and we announce them all and give them a little plaque, and they get a calendar, and it's just a really fun event to get everybody out. And this year, all 12 photographers were there. And I think everybody had a good time. I know you were there,
yes,
Mr. October.
No, I like
I
to
know
say
he left my event to run over there.
I know. I was at the Nest, and I was Miss October. it's a great calendar. So, and where are they available? I mean, I know you can order them.
Well, they are available online. They're going to be available tomorrow at the Holiday Bazaar we're having at 100 Washington.
And we'll talk about that a little more.
They are running we're running pretty low. So after tomorrow, I'll see how many I have left. And then we're going to put them a couple different places. We'll probably have them at Patina after Saturday. And then maybe Red Cup in Chesterton.
Okay. You know, there's a place in Michigan City called The Nest you might want to consider.
Yeah, and maybe at The Nest, too.
Very good. And how much is it?
They are $22. Tomorrow they'll be $20 people stop by the bazaar. $20.
Okay. Well, since you brought up...
10% of the proceeds go to Save the Dunes.
Save the Dunes. And tell us a little bit about what Save the Dunes does.
So Save the Dunes is out there. People sometimes get confused with Dig the Dunes and Save the Dunes. But Save the Dunes is there, and they are protecting our dunes and our watershed. And they're out there doing some great work. If people want to find out more about Save the Dunes, they could go to savedunes.org.
Okay. And since you live in Ogden Dunes, and you're not too far from the lake, probably the big controversy right now is the erosion of our lakeshore.
Yeah, it's really bad right now.
What's your experience about that?
Well, there's a lot of different things going on with that. I know even in the town of Ogden Dunes, some of the people are trying to figure out what to do with their wall. They have walls up now, and just how they're going to protect their houses.
That are right on the lake.
They are right on the lake. But just the beach that I normally walk to, there is no more beach there. So I need to go all the way down to the west end of town to get on the beach. And even that, when you're walking near West Beach now, there's cliffs where the water has hit the dune, and there's about 20-foot cliffs down.
Wow.
So it's pretty bad. I know they just closed, the national park just closed the parking lot in Beverly Shores.
The Lakeview.
Yes.
I heard that. I think you can still look at Lakeview, but you can't go down to the beach at all.
Yeah, you can't go down to the beach there. And then Portage Riverwalk have been having some problems as well.
Serious problems. There's a great erosion there. In fact, it's threatening the building that's there now.
Mm-hmm.
The walkway already has collapsed.
Yeah,
so
it's collapsed. So I did go to a presentation about it, and, you know, geologists are saying there's a 30-year cycle, and we have a little bit more to go to get to that high lake level, and then it should start to go down a little bit. But because of all the things that have been built, our shoreline will never be the same as it was, but hopefully we'll get a little bit of a beach back.
Isn't the NIPSCO thing kind of one of the things that have affected how the lake?
The port, that's what's affecting.
Well, the port on the one side.
And then I know in Michigan City, is it NIPSCO that's doing it? There's something that's affecting it, the east or the west beach in Michigan City.
Yeah.
Well, east is fine.
Eventually, right? NIPSCO is going to be pulling out of there. I guess they originally were talking about converting that to a gas plant, and I guess the conversion is so expensive that they're going to
take it all out.
And that's where the Hoosier Slide was.
Used to be, right.
Yes, the Hoosier Slide.
220-foot tall sand dune.
Yeah, and that was all mined out for ball jars.
Yeah, insulators.
In Muncie. So.
Insulators.
But anyway, there's a 10-year timeline.
When
they're going to pull that out, and that'll be a whole.
Yeah.
We're going to recapture that.
Maybe.
So
we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
I know.
Yeah, well, you know, the whole Indiana Lakeshore is such a mixed-use thing with the industry and everything. We were able to preserve some of it, and, you know, that'll be nice to recapture a little bit more of it. By the way, you're listening to Art in the Air, and we're talking to Eve Landsman and Mark Werner. And the big thing you have coming up, Eve, is the Holiday Bazaar. So let's talk a little bit about it for Dig the Dunes.
Yeah, that's coming up tomorrow, and Matt will be there as well.
I'll be there.
We're going to have a lot of different vendors, and let's see if I can name some of them. We have Treasures by the Tide, who does beach glass wire wrapping. We have Region Wear, and they do a lot of local region merchandise. Randy Light is going to be there. Randy is a well-known hypnotist in the area. She'll be selling CBD oils as well as giving consultations and talking a little bit about what she can do. We have Joel Pizowicz Pottery. He's an awesome potter. And Matt Warner and Jose Rios are both authors, so you'll be selling your books and calendar also?
Yeah, I got books for sale.
Will you be doing readings there?
If you would like me to read to you,
I will. Well, Eve's in charge of the event. I'm not in charge of it. So yeah.
It's kind of hard at an event to do a reading.
That's all right. I'll read it to you if you like. Yeah. Or you can pick up a copy and read a portion of it.
Maybe I'll do a little bit on air now.
Yeah, I can even point you to a page if you'd like.
There you go.
But we're going to have a photographer there, a girl and her photographs. She was Laura was the December winner of the calendar.
She's Miss December.
The Beef Jerky Outlet's going to be there. I can't wait for that. They were supposed to be there last year, but they could not make it. And then the Spoiled Housewife, she is part of the Collective Group, which has been doing a lot of markets lately. So I'm excited to have her there. But so people can come in and they can shop. Just come in for free to go and check out the bazaar. Try some of Mo's Mediterranean food. The Sahara pop-up is there now.
Oh, okay.
Or they can choose to sip a little beer and wine while they're there. And if they get their ticket in advance, it's just $10. And there's pretty much unlimited sampling at the bar. We have four different places. Round Barn's going to be there. Lots of wine. Burnham's going to have a beer there. And people can just sip some wine and then go do some shopping.
There you go.
So what kind of food is Mo going to have? Is he going to have falafel?
Full menu. Oh. His small plate, cold and hot plates in the appetizer section. So yeah.
Nice.
Hummus, falafel, kibbeh is the one. Meat pies. And yeah, he's been getting great reviews. Everybody's loving the food. So if people have wanted to go check it out, tomorrow from 2 to 5 is a good time to.
And that's at 100 Washington in Michigan City.
Yep.
And that's Saturday, December 14th. So if you listen to the show on Sundays and Mondays, you missed it, folks. So now you guys that are listening to us live, you're getting the inside track, and I have a link to this on our events page also. So very good. And you do this annually, or you just started doing this annually?
Yeah, well, we did this last year, and then we also in the summer did the artisan fair at the Brewery Lodge, and that was sort of similar. We got vendors together, and we had lots of beer and wine tastings. And then at the one at the Brewery Lodge, we also had a singer-songwriter contest, which was very popular. So next year, if we do it again, we're going to really highlight that, because a lot of people really enjoyed that.
Very good. So Matt, did you bring any books with you today?
I've got a couple of them with me.
Okay. I'll let you take a minute to get an excerpt up, and we'll have you do something on the air from one of your books, and then you can see Matt at the bazaar there on 100 Washington, along with Eve. Eve's going to be there.
Yeah, the bazaar will be a good event. I was at it last year, and it was a really good event. For example, one of them was going to be there again, 219.
Yeah, the Region Wear.
They sell like T-shirts. They really kind of promote the 219 as a brand, the number, and they look really cool. Remember last year, I'm not sure what he has in the works now, but I remember last year he had this really cool Indiana shirt that was multiple colors. It was kind of smaller for kids and things. That was super cool, I thought.
He always has really fun stuff.
Yeah.
And also had the Indiana woodcut map where you could collect different bottle caps and put them into the map.
Yeah, he does some cool stuff. Jose Rios, he'll be there. He's a friend of mine. You guys got to have him on your show sometime.
He's
at work usually. That's a problem.
Well, eventually we will be able to do pre-recorded shows. We can do it at my house. We've not done that yet, but they're setting it up so we can do what's called audition mode here, and then we'll be able to pre-record shows. So that'll be, and also when we get the telephone capability, we'll be able to do other stuff like
I'm
that.
I'm looking forward to
that'll
it.
Be great.
Yeah, and Jose, he did a children's book. And we actually wrote about it for Dig the Dune. So you can actually go out there and look up Jose Rios and learn about his book, A New Leaf, it's called. It's really good.
Children's book.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's really good. I think the target
is really good.
Yeah, the target age is about second or third grade, roughly. It's really cool. He illustrated himself. He wrote it himself. I mean, he put a ton of work into it. So he'll be there with those. He's also got, I don't know if you've seen this yet or not, he created, I think it was over the summer, he created these T-shirts for toddlers and infants, and it's called Weegee Rat.
Oh,
it's got this little baby rat and is playing with some blocks and a toy train. It's super cool. And he's like, he just came up with the idea, and it's kind of one of his creative outlets. So he'll be there with those. These are all cool things.
Yeah, a lot of fun people will be there.
Okay, and Eve, your connection to Matt, how did you guys hook up here?
I think we met at Burnham Brewery, didn't we?
True.
One time? Matt came up to me and told me about your book about the car accident.
Yeah, we were talking. Oh, it was before that. What were we talking about? We were talking about something, and I was talking about a story. And you said, oh, you write? And I said, yeah, I've done these books and this and that. And I said, aren't you the woman who does Dig the Dunes? And you're like, yeah. And you're like, why don't you come and write a story or two for me? I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and I love the way Matt writes. So thanks. Anytime he comes up with an idea, I'm like, sure.
Now he writes for you sometimes too, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's done several articles. You can find them on digthedunes.com.
You can almost always spot Eve because she's got a Dig the Dunes shirt on, I think, almost all the time. Almost all the time.
I feel so dressed up when I don't wear one.
Nice.
But yeah. So Matt, what do you have to read for us?
Oh, I didn't even look. I was too busy talking.
Okay, well, Eve will tell us a little bit about it. There's also the In Coast.
The In Coast won't be there tomorrow.
Okay.
She's celebrating her mother's birthday.
Well, so you got to
do that. She might be there, but she might be there with her mom drinking some wine.
Ah.
But I do have some other events coming up.
Okay, let's talk about some of those.
In case somebody listens to it Monday. On January 25th, we're doing a really fun event at Barker Mansion in Michigan City.
Okay.
There's going to be two tours that people can go to, and we're also going to have different cocktails from four different restaurants.
Wow.
And four popular mixologists will be mixing it up. So people can go
some
to the
favorites.
Different rooms in Barker Mansion and try each of the cocktails, and then they can vote on their favorite.
Okay.
And we're going to have music by some of the members of Vintage Postcard.
Okay.
And food provided by McGinnis Pub. But we did this a few years ago and it was really fun and people dressed up. And
who are some of the mixologists going to be there?
We are going to have David Hawk from Leeds.
Okay.
So wonderful.
We're going to have Festina from the Brewery Lodge. And then McGinnis Pub is going to be there. I'm not sure who the mixologist will be there. And who was my fourth one? I'm forgetting. By the time Matt reads, I'll remember.
The False Front.
Me. I'm just going to put booze in a jar and hand it.
There you go. So, we'll talk about some more events you have coming. Well, Matt, what are you going to have for us here?
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. I'll read. It's actually just the beginning of a White Sox life, from Hoosier farm boy to 42 years in Major League Baseball. And this is a story about Glenn, who I've known my entire life. I was driving a combine across an Indiana cornfield. Glenn Rosenbaum sat in the jump seat next to me. He leaned forward and peered down through the glass, past the thrashing corn stalks that fed into the machine. "This is muck, isn't it?" Glenn said, referring to the black, powdery soil. "It is," I said. Glenn smiled. "This is the same kind of ground I was cultivating corn in when Dad showed up with a scout from the White Sox. Boy, I'll never forget that. He was all dressed up, suit, nice shoes, perfectly shine, standing out there in that black dirt like baby powder clinging to everything. I thought how awful it was to be standing out there in that dirt with those nice clothes on. Do you remember his name?" I asked. "Johnny Mostel. He was the Midwestern scout for the White Sox in the 50s. Probably the best center fielder the Sox ever had. Might be the only center fielder to catch a foul ball. Legend held that Mostel outran left fielder Bib Falk to snag a foul ball during a spring exhibition game in 1925. Many credited him with saving Charlie Robertson's perfect game in 1922 and Ted Lyon's no-hitter in 1926. It was like turning a rabbit loose when the ball was hit out to center field," Lyon said of Mostel's agility. The combine rumbled on. "He stood in a lot of cornfields in his career, and I didn't think much of it," I said. Glenn laughed. "Probably." That was 1954, and Glenn farmed with his dad outside the small town of Union Mills, Indiana, in southern LaPorte County. 10 days earlier, Glenn had no ideas of playing professional baseball. He thought he'd just farm until he figured something else out. Then Johnny Mostel showed up and offered a poor, skinny farm boy a contract to join the Chicago White Sox baseball club. But Glenn's baseball life started 16 years earlier.
And that's from what book now?
A White Sox Life.
White Sox Life. From the Hoosier Boy from 42 years in the Major League Baseball. And that's from Matt Warner. So, and you can get that on Amazon or order it at your favorite bookstore and everything. That'd be great. And you have a website, too, so they can kind of get a preview of some of your things.
It's MatthewAWerner.com, and Werner is spelled W-E-R-N-E-R.
Very good.
There's an elephant moving upstairs.
Yeah, they're moving furniture upstairs. Hopefully you don't hear it over the microphones.
Elephant on cartwheels.
That's true. Well, you know, it's always fun here at Art in the Air in Valparaiso.
Maybe they're skateboarding up there or something.
And Matt's books make great Christmas presents or holiday presents. I have bought a couple for my husband, and he's enjoyed them very much.
So there you go. If you do, now's the time for that hard person to shop
for. Dig the Dunes calendars and Matt's books.
You got Christmas covered then, you know, and for your holiday, and it's a gift that keeps on giving. You know, books and calendars actually do that. So, and the calendars are worth keeping because the photos are really nice.
They are
them
nice.
Too.
Yes, a lot of people cut the photos out and frame them and use them for years to come afterwards.
That's great. You have sponsors for each page of the calendar, so is that?
Yes, that's something we started a couple of years ago, and it's been really popular. So people come to us to be a sponsor on the calendar, and we just have $100 to be on the page, and they get to put their logo and a little information about themselves.
That's great. That's great. How many people do you have in your directory so far, or approximately?
I'm not sure. We just revamped it a little bit, so we made the categories a little bit simpler. So we have it, so it's set up where we have places to eat, places to drink, places to shop, places to get healthy. So they're a little bit broader categories. But I want to say the drink and eat are the most popular ones. We feature a lot of the area breweries and wineries.
Okay. And you have another event coming up on December 14th. Or is this your event, Fa La 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 Holiday?
Yes, that's a brew tour. That's sold out.
Oh, okay, well.
Yeah. But we're planning some more for 2020 for sure, because we've done a couple of these brew tours with Harbor Country Adventures, and they've been really popular. And Harbor Country Adventures is great to work with. They're also the people who have the Amita 2, which is the tour boat in Michigan City.
Okay. And then in January, you have something, January 16th, the glass class at Fish Camp.
We're starting some of our workshops and classes, and the glass class is our popular class that we've done all over, where we use different glass and trinkets and put it onto a frame, and it's a very casual, relaxed class that people seem to really enjoy because they don't have to follow tons of directions. They can relax, talk to their friends, and create something beautiful.
And that's at Fish Camp.
And that's at Fish Camp, and then we're also going to have the third Wednesday of every month through April, we're going to be at Anderson's Winery, and we're going to have a different class there.
Okay.
So we're just getting those set up, and we'll have those up within probably by next week.
And you can find that out at digthedunes.org or go on the Facebook and do a search, and you find it out.
Digthedunes.com.
It is com. I'm sorry. It's not org.
Savethedunes.org.
Right. Yeah. And there's fun. There's organizations out there that should be a .org that are a com, so yeah. I always see that. So. Very good. Well, now, we didn't talk about your background to say you got married and have one child. And uh-huh. Okay. And she's a senior, right?
She is a senior, yes.
So off to college, and you'll be an empty nester at that point?
Yes.
Oh, no. And what college do you think she's going to?
She's looking at a few. She's looking at Western Michigan and Central Michigan, and then she's looking at IUPUI and Ball State.
Okay.
Right now. So I'm pushing her towards Western Michigan because it's right in Kalamazoo, and there's so much fun stuff to do in that area.
I thought you might want to keep her in state, you know.
So wait, is that for you to do stuff in Kalamazoo or for her to do stuff in Kalamazoo?
It's for me, but you know.
Okay. Why not?
I didn't hear IU Hoosiers anywhere on that list.
Yeah, she's not thinking IU, so.
Well, being a Purdue guy, you know, it's like...
And I went to IU.
I know that. You know,
I think that's why, because my husband and I both went to IU, so she wants to do something.
She wants to rebel.
Yeah. Carve her own path.
Yeah. Carve the own path and everything like that. You're listening to Art in the Air today, and we're talking to Eve Wierzbicki, and we're also talking to Matt Warner here, and we have upcoming events going with Dig the Dunes and talking about Dig the Dunes. So Dig the Dunes, how did you start that? I mean, you know, what gave you the idea to go ahead and do that? What is your background that brought you to think, oh, I should do this organization?
It sort of just evolved, and it evolves still to this. Every year it seems like something new comes up. But really, I just wanted to... it was just my love for the dunes and the trails and wanting to share that with other people. And really, everything just kind of fell into place from there with... I was the only one writing articles at the beginning about things, and then I met people like Matt and other writers, and I was able to utilize them to share more stories. And I just have a love. And then with the events, there were things that were missing, I felt, in the area. And I would try to get somebody to do them, and nobody else was doing it. So I thought, why don't I just do it? And so I think the events have been really successful lately, and so I'm hoping to do a lot more of that in 2020.
So you're seeing growth with the response from people.
Yes, and really just being able to stay on top of things. The newsletter that I send out every week, I think, is really helpful for people. And, you know, when I first sent it out, I thought, oh, people won't miss it if I skip a couple weeks. But then I started realizing that even if I'm late, if it comes a couple hours late, people will email me and say, where's your newsletter? So that's kind of nice to hear back. And just getting the positive feedback from people really, really makes
Since you're so close to the dunes, have you noticed a great increase in the number of people that are visiting now that we're a national park?
I did, especially in the summer. And even Cull's Bog, I noticed when I go midweek now and I go to the parking lot, it's filled. Sometimes they can't find a spot. And a lot of the cars are not Indiana plates, so people are coming from other places, which is really nice. One thing that I am trying to do with Dig the Dunes is try to educate people on the difference. People are very confused about the national park and the state park.
Right.
And one thing I noticed over the summer was a very long line to get into the state park, which is worth it. I mean, it's a wonderful park, but I think people thought they were going to the national park when they were waiting in that long line. And they didn't realize they could have gone a couple blocks down the road and didn't have to wait for anything. And
it's free.
Yeah.
And free is good.
And people get confused and they don't understand why they have to pay at the state park when they have a national park pass. Oh. So I'm sure the gates at the state park were a little frustrated with that, dealing with all those people. But I overall, it's going to be a wonderful thing, you know, just having more people and the economy and helping local businesses. And
I heard a report that they're thinking of using the Port of Indiana as a lake cruise ship destination, that this is kind of in the works. I don't know if you've heard that. Or
I've heard rumblings about that. I don't know how.
I'm not sure that's the best landing spot to show off.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we're getting off of this. But that would be something. I mean, to make a landing area that you're doing these little cruises around the lake.
And yeah. Yeah, and I was actually just at the Lighthouse Museum last week. They have on First Fridays, you can go in for free. And I was looking at the display they had there with the past cruise ships that came through, and I thought that was really interesting.
I maybe you know about, remember the history of Michigan City. I read somewhere where that was really, like in the very early development, was going to be the Chicago of the lake. And then that kind of fell apart.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah.
I don't know how serious or real that is, but I've heard that before. I think one of the advantages is Trail Creek is deep.
Yeah.
And was and has been for a long time, which was helpful. Beyond that, you know, whether it was legitimately going to be or not, you know, that's a very good question. I'm not sure. Because, you know, the Lighthouse has been there a very long time, and the city sort of developed slowly. But, yeah, Michigan City history is pretty interesting, especially that north side area and some of the old buildings that are now gone, unfortunately. But, yeah, pretty amazing stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah. And I wrote about Harriet. Why am I drawing a blank on her last name?
I can't remember either. The lighthouse keeper.
Oh, okay.
Who was there for 40-some years.
More than that.
Well, and they just recently repainted the top of the old lighthouse, which is a museum in Michigan City. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool, you know, being able to uncover things like that.
Well, and it's kind of cute, Michigan City's little zoo and everything like that. That's such a cute thing.
Colfax. Harriet Colfax.
Gosh,
there you go. Way to go, Eve.
And that's a great article. That was a great article.
Yeah, that was a fun one to look up, the story about Harriet Colfax and how she got the job. And, you know, she took the job shortly before the Civil War started. And she saw a lot of changes and the things that she had done. And unique character, never married, lived with her longtime partner. And yeah, there's some innuendo in some newspaper stories that they tended to ignore or rebuff, and you know nobody really knows for sure. So it's all
the ladies
who
lunch. That's
creativity, you know, or your own imagination, I suppose, or whatever. But yeah, she's pretty amazing, and same building, still there.
Okay. Do you have any other books in the works?
Not right now. Writing's been a little difficult because I'm about ready to have carpal tunnel surgery.
Ooh.
So I haven't done a lot of writing the last year trying to get this fixed.
Do you use like a keyboard to writing, or do you?
Yeah, and the keyboard is not so big a problem as using a computer mouse is very difficult.
Okay.
So any editing becomes extremely difficult and painful. So I haven't done a lot of writing lately. But
I'm gonna have to talk into the tape recorder.
You know, somebody actually mentioned that the other day. Get one of those Dragonfly or whatever it's called.
Right.
And I'm like, I tried it once years ago and wasn't a fan. No thanks. I like the tactile component of typing.
Well, and there's something great about editing that way. You know, it's like, I think about the old days and doing, you know, term papers. You want to revise stuff. You know, it's like you have to retype practically the whole page. And
here's a couple things that I've been working on, excuse me, that I've got waiting. And they're on my website, and I'm just waiting to hit click to post them.
Okay.
Stories mostly focus on old photographs and digging up history that's long been forgotten and, you know, just these unusual photos and things like that. One of them, a couple of them are sports related. One of them is about a guy who actually worked for Steger Hardware Store for 50 years. He started there in like 1897, and in 1946 he was in the newspaper being celebrated for 50 years of employment. I mean, you know, that's just amazing. It's a cool old photograph, an old photo negative that I had found and, you know, developed it and learned a little bit about his story. And the Steger Hardware is still there. That's where Patina Vintage is.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, the building is still there, and that's kind of the whole connection.
Yeah, there's a lot of old buildings that have been repurposed in Michigan City. Mm-hmm. And some sad things, like Southern Shore Art Association is now, you know, out because they're selling the building.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's... That's gone because I'm on the board for that, and we got our notice to vacate.
I know. Yeah.
And we were there for 16 years, though, and it was a free. But the old gentleman who owns that wants to retire, and so he's selling that all off. It's kind of sad. That's because that's really part of the First Friday. That was one of the anchor positions,
I think.
Yeah. So anything else coming up for Dig the Dunes down the road? Not just events, but any bigger plans, expansion? In your spare time?
Yeah, right now, no, really just focusing on the events.
Mince.
And just trying to get some more people involved. I have a lot of help now, so I'm even able to do a couple events on the same day, like tomorrow.
Okay.
Have the two things going on.
Who are some of your helpers?
I have Kelly Stone is my biggest, she's my assistant, and
okay.
She helps keep me organized. So she's the one that reaches out to anybody who wants to be in the directory. She also helps a lot with when I'm having, selling merchandise and things like that. And she's just, keeps all my financials and stuff organized.
It's always good.
And then I have a handful of writers that I use, including Matt and Laura, who also does a lot of photography. And yeah, just a lot of people. I have a lot of my ambassadors that just like to come out and help and promote the dunes.
And are you looking for writers? I mean, it's
I'm always looking for writers.
New writers and new content.
And
what would be the area that you're looking for? You want to keep it strictly Duneland or how far?
Yeah, because I like to say that I promote things from Whiting, the Whiting area, all along the lake through Three Oaks,
okay.
Michigan, a little bit into St. Joe, too, for Southwest Michigan trips and people who want to do that.
Okay. Well, Matt, we have if you can do like two more minutes, and do you have an excerpt you can do from the book and fill us out?
I got to find one.
Well, I'll let you find one while
open
we're talking.
And read.
Yeah. Just open and read. I wish we could find one that I'd written for Dig the Dunes, like if we could find the
we
brewery
find
tour
Harriet,
from Bridgman.
Well, the Harriet
that.
Yeah,
Robert Serco. I still have his exhibit up.
Oh, well, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wrote about Robert Serco and the
that's
Nest.
Really good
that
one.
Was for Dig the Dunes. I wrote about the Bridgman brewery tour. That one was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
that was pretty good. We were just exploring a lot of beer. A lot of beer. A lot of beer.
Leroy's, you did one on
Yep, did
Leroy's.
One on Leroy's. Did one on Pat Wisniewski, who was the producer of Shifting Sands.
Okay, yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's all about, you talked earlier in the show about that separation or that coming together of industry versus nature on the dunes, and she did an entire documentary, Shifting Sands,
right.
About that. And you know, we did a story about her, I think that was last year. I think that was a year ago or 2 years ago.
Maybe 2 years.
So, you know, all kinds of different stuff like that that appears on Dig the Dunes. Harriet Colfax, of course, in her history. Right now, Eve is searching.
I'm trying
so.
To find
so
well, that's
find
okay.
A good one,
that's fine.
Read it.
It's an article from Dig the Dunes.
Okay.
By Matt Warner.
Steel mills to shifting sands. Pat Wisniewski digs the dunes. Patricia Wisniewski held her camera as she stood among a group of big, burly guys and one woman holding guns at a firing range. The woman asked her, "Do you shoot?" "My cannon," Wisniewski replied, holding her camera. A short time later, the group crowded into a room and Wisniewski stood before them and made her sales pitch. She asked for $80,000 in official sponsorship so she could make a documentary film. The group deliberated. She was nervous. Then a man stood up and said, "I think we should do this." The group was the Diana chapter of the Isaac Walton League, and those words of support launched Everglades of the North, a documentary about the Grand Kankakee Marsh. Momentum from that film rolled to Shifting Sands on the path to sustainability about the Indiana Dunes. Wisniewski grew up in Hegewisch, a steel mill jobbing neighborhood on the far southeast side of Chicago. Her great-grandfather, her grandfather, her father, and her uncles were all steel mill workers. And when Patty turned 18, she became a steel mill worker. At age 22, she became the first woman and the youngest person ever elected union rep at Local 1033 of the United Steelworkers of America. When fellow workers pushed her to select their friend as a subgriever, she picked her own man instead. They ostracized her. She didn't care. She didn't care because she had done the right thing. When her job got cut, she worked for the Chicago Mayor's Office for Employment and Training, helping other displaced steel workers find jobs too. She was one of the top producers. That whole time, Wisniewski had another plan in mind. "I've always liked writing, even when I worked in the steel mill," Wisniewski said. "I used to write stories about all the characters and the things I saw. The stories sat under my bed for about 15 years. That's when a Northwest Indiana Career Center held a writing contest for stories about steelworkers. Wisniewski dug out the stories under her bed, dusted them off, and sent some in. She won, and one of her stories got produced as part of an ensemble called Steel and Roses, a series of plays about the steel mills.
And that's by Matt Warner.
What a fabulous story.
And can you see these previous articles on Dig the News?
Yes, they're all.
So you can see all the things like that. So that's a great resource. Well, this has been a wonderful show. Both returning guests, Matt Warner, just read his story. You can also see his book, Season of Upsets, A White Sox Life, and How Sweet It Is, and Car Crash. And Eve Wisniewski, the wonderful maven of Dig the Dunes.
Maven.
There you go.
So thank you. We appreciate you being on the show, and we'll have you back.
Us.
Oh, it's fantastic. You've been listening to Art in the Air, and we'd like to thank our guests for being here today. Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast here at Monday at 5 p.m., also streaming at WVLP.org. And now you can hear us Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Your hosts are Larry Brechner and Esther Golden. We'd always like to thank Greg Kovach, who's always there to keep us
right
on
here.
The air. Underwriters for Art in the Air, Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, and our landlord, Walt Reitinger of Paragon Investments. Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. Interested in being a guest on our show? We'd love to hear from you or get your event on the show. Send us an email, artontheair@wvlp.com. Next week, we have Leona Jorenzi and Rita Berg, two artists who I'm familiar with, and they'll be here as our guests to talk about their art and their activities in the arts organization. So we'll see you right here next week on 103.1 FM Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a terrific week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.